I'm going to tell you, I am glad to be here. I really am. I've never preached here before, and I've been here several times at different things. Y'all had some, I guess, do you still have the, where all the churches get together?
Yeah.
And have service and stuff? Do y'all still do that? Well, I've been here a couple times during all that and everything, but anyway, I'm just glad to be here. Brother Robert's sick, and he called me. He texted me like on a Tuesday and asked me if I could come or if I knew somebody that could come. And I told him I'd love to do it. And just, I'm telling you, the day after he texted me and I told him I would do it, boom, my throat voice just like goes. And I'm telling you, just like the day before yesterday, you couldn't hardly even hear me. I was like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I started halls, gargling with salt water, you name it. I started doing it. So I got a little bit of my voice back and stuff. And hopefully, I hope I don't lose it. But I'm sure probably Brother Eddie thinks I do lose it and everything. Anyway, I tell you what, the video, great video about the Lottie Moon. We have Brother, or Dr. Patterson is our intern right now. And he's really big, being that he was into that, you know, and stuff, into the, what am I trying to think of? He was a
foreign missionary.
Yes, missionary. Good gracious, I couldn't even think what I wanted to say. He was a missionary, and he told a story right after we did our Lottie Moon, okay? Offering about, and I'm going to be honest with you, I can't even remember where it was. It was over in
Korea.
Okay, is in Korea, and he was talking about how that they had like 14 or 17,000, something like that, people a year come to Jesus Christ through missionaries.
Amen.
Over,
yep,
there. I mean, unbelievable. He said they averaged it a year over there, so it's very big to him, and you know, when you hear stories like that and see videos like this, that's what makes the, you know, missionary so next to your heart, knowing that the Word of God is getting out and people are coming to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, which is very important. And we are going to be talking about an apostle. I'm going to be coming from 1 John. This is where the message is going to be coming from. And this is going to be one of the, I got to be careful here, okay, guys? I've got kinfolk on both sides of the church today, okay? So I got kinfolk on this side through Cindy, and I got my aunt over here and everything, which used to get after me all the time when I was little and I was mean, and I'm afraid she probably still can, so I got to watch what I do here. I can't get out of control here at church this morning. But anyway, 1 John... And I think I'm going to go ahead and start reading from verse 5. I wasn't going to read that, but I think I am. And I'm just going to tell y'all that this verse of Scripture, it's very close to me. It's, and reason why is because when I did rededicate my life, this is a passage of Scripture that the minister talk to me about, okay? But I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read the scripture and have a short little prayer here, and then we'll get into the message. I'll tell you a little bit more about it. If you don't mind, if you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. Going to be starting 1 John 1:5. Says, this is the message which you have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Father, we just thank you, and Lord, we love you. Father, we pray that your word goes forth and it comes back not void, Father, that it does go out and prosper in a way that you would have it to do. For it's in Jesus' name, for his sake, I pray. Amen. I'm going to move this down just a little bit. I feel like I hear it bumping a little bit. Maybe it's too close to me, but anyway. My testimony is a long one, and I'm not going to get into the whole testimony, but I will tell you that I believe with all my heart I was saved when I was 11 years old. Okay, a preacher was preaching at Cherry Hill Baptist Church. It was a revival. The man was preaching on people going to hell. And you know, I was 11 years old and when he preached that message, and he just plain simple told us, said, you know, you walk out that door, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you get hit by a car, you're done. You know, everything scared me to death. I mean, I'm going to tell you that right now. I didn't want to go to hell. I mean, the man described hell, and I was like, I didn't want to go to hell. So I come forward and I give my heart to Jesus Christ that night. Okay. Make a long story short, by the time I was in my 30s, I had gone a long ways away from that night at Cherry Hill Baptist Church, okay? I've done just about anything and everything. I was into everything, drugs, alcohol, you name it, I was doing it. And I was doing it on a regular basis. And one night, me and my wife decided we wanted to go to church, so we went to church one morning. We were invited that day to the church to go. It was Super Bowl Sunday, and they invited us to go to a church service that's going to be held at Poole Missionary Baptist Church, and Brother Brett Evelyn was going to be preaching the message there. And I really wanted to go. I told them I would probably be there anyway. Make a long story short, I didn't think much of it. I went to the Super Bowl party that all a bunch of guys got together, okay? There was everything there that you wanted. There was alcohol, everything, you name it. And we were going to have a big time there. And something just kept telling me to go to that night, okay? And so I went to the Poole Missionary Baptist Church, Super Bowl night. Went to the church. Brother Brent delivered a message, and I'm telling you, you know, the thing about it is, it don't matter what kind of message you don't, you know, you're going to find out I'm not the best speaker in the world. I'm not, and you know what, if you're worried about that, if you've got to have somebody that knows how to pronounce and knows the big words and everything, then you don't want to listen to me. I'll just tell you that right now, but I will tell you this much, that there's a lot of people that can deliver a whole lot better message than I can, but there ain't nobody going to deliver any better gospel than what I'm going to deliver. I'm going to bring the same gospel as what they're going to bring. It don't matter who they are. They may speak better, and they may know more, but the gospel ain't going to be no better than what I'm going to bring. So, anyway, that night, Brother Brett, I'm telling you, it hit home. Went past the altar, went past everything. I was ready to get out of there. And as I was going out into the parking lot, the pastor that was at Cherry Hill Baptist Church at that time seen me and hollered at me and stopped me. And I'm telling you, if he hadn't done that, I'd been in my vehicle and gone. But he stopped me. And I'm going to just tell you, I was in a place in my life where I really didn't think Jesus Christ would forgive me. I didn't think he could forgive me of the things that I had done, the things that I'd been involved in, things that I had said, and everything. I just didn't think he would, to be quite honest with you. And that man sat down there with me and everything, and he quoted this verse. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I asked him to forgive me that very night in that parking lot. And I'm going to just tell you, okay, my life completely changed after that moment. My life completely changed.
Amen.
And all I wanted to do, and I'm just going to tell you, all I wanted to do is to get involved in church. But I will tell you that even then, sometimes our heart is in the right direction, but we're just missing something. And even though that I wanted to be in the Scripture, and I wanted to read the Scripture, know the Scripture, I wanted to be at church service every time the church service is going on, I still was missing something. And I'm going to tell you what that something was. It was I still didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? You can have all the head knowledge you want. You can know all the Scriptures, and every one of them you can have and know them by heart and everything. But the Scripture tells us that we must have a fellowship with Jesus Christ. We must have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So that's where my next place took me, is to the relationship of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle John, he, remember that he is the one that Jesus loved. And he's the one that loved Jesus. He is that apostle. And so he's a very loving person. Very loving. So in his books, the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and in the book of Revelation, as he goes through all those scriptures right here, he's very loving to it, okay? So he loves us through this scripture right here. But yet in his books that he writes, and what he goes into and gets involved in is very important. And it's kind of like he, in a loving way, he tells us how important it is for us to keep a relationship with Jesus Christ. Stay in fellowship with Jesus Christ, because it's so important for us to stay in that fellowship, that that's where our joy comes from. And he tells us right here in verse 4 that these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. So that's what he's wanting to do, is to tell us that we must maintain joy in our relationship with Jesus Christ. So that night in that parking lot, whenever I asked God to forgive me, asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of those sins, I believe that he did just that. I believe that he did, and I'm telling you, it was like the weight of the world on my shoulders. Amen. That night. And that's the thing. And there's something very important that the minister told me before, and this is what he told me. We were down, I was on my knees. He told me that, and told me that asking to forgive me of those sins and stuff, and he told me this. He said, whatever you do, don't get up until you know that he's forgiven you.
Amen.
Don't get up until you know that he's forgiven you. And I'm just going to tell you, I mean, I sat there and sat there and sat there until I finally just said, you know what? I'm getting up, and I believe that he's forgiven me of my sins. And I got up. And I believe to this day he forgave me of those sins. And those sins no longer hinder me from my relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's important at this time of the year, you know, we're coming into a new year. It was always really big with me, New Year's coming in. Think of something you can do in your life to make your new year a better for you. And not just a better for you, but, we think about all kinds of stuff when we're just thinking about life, everyday life, you know. What can make you better, make more money? That's always one of everybody's number one thing, make more money and stuff like that and everything. But what's important in your life to make your relationship with Jesus Christ better? Because ultimately, that's the most important thing that you have going for you, is the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What is something you can do to make that better, make it stronger? You know, John lovingly starts talking about the different things that one must do. I mean, if you Sunday's book up, I'm just going to read this. if you Sunday's book up into just a short thing, he would tell us to walk with Jesus, cling to your faith, stay in the light. When you sin, confess your sin, and move on. And that's very important. And show your love for Jesus by loving your brothers and sisters in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's a short version. That's all John's letters compact into that one thing. You got to remember that the book of 1 John here, he mentions the love or something that correlates to love 46 times in the book, first book of John. 46 times he mentions love. So you understand whenever it says that this is the apostle that loves Jesus and Jesus loves him, okay? He's a very loving person, obviously, because he mentions it 46 times in his book, the word love. So whenever you have that sin in your life, that is one of the things that separates you out of your fellowship. When you walk out of your fellowship, that's what I did. And I really believe that with all my heart. That's what went on in my life for those years, is that when we sin, we fall out of fellowship with Jesus Christ. When we fall out of fellowship with Jesus Christ, we distance ourselves from Jesus Christ. And you know, he is telling us that it is very important for us to ask forgiveness of our sins. We must do that. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not here to stop debates or you know, nothing like that. I'm telling you, I'm not. But I pastored a church in Beach Grove, Kentucky for 13 years. And there was a woman that was in that church. And I preached about asking him to forgive our sins. You know, it's just something that I feel like we need to do. We need to ask Jesus to forgive our sin. Who here has not sinned? Who here has quit sinning? You know, that's kind of where John's coming from there. In that, to say, when he tells us to ask for forgiveness, in other words, he's saying, who hasn't sinned? It's something that we do every day. And this woman said that when she asked Jesus Christ into her life and he forgave her of her sins, that it was it, over with, done. I don't have to ask forgiveness of sins anymore. And he is the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and he has forgiven the sins of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is that. I can't argue that. But I know this much. I know I sin practically every day, somehow, some way. I'm not sitting there telling y'all that I think of ways to sin. I'm not telling y'all that I'm a deceitful or person or nothing like that. But there's so many ways. You got to remember, in the Old Testament, which was the physical, the New Testament, which is the spiritual. In the Old Testament, and in the book of Leviticus, it goes over all the goodness gracious. All the things in the Old Testament that they have the law of different stuff, where they had like offerings, burnt offerings. That's what I was trying to get at. The offerings that they had in the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus, it covered so many things, okay? There was even an offering of ignorance, okay? There was an offering of ignorance, sin of ignorance. Okay, now that's not a bad word. A lot of people, you call somebody ignorant about something, they get tore up, okay, you know, because they say, man, he just called me ignorant. But how many times did Paul and Jesus, either one of them, say, I would not have you to be ignorant? And that means not knowing. Not knowing, that's what the word ignorant would be in the Bible, would be not knowing. I would not have you not knowing the truth. And the truth in that sin offering of ignorance, it was for sins that we commit when we just basically didn't even realize that we just committed a sin. It had to be, see what I'm saying? The Old Testament, even in those offerings, they had to cover everything. It had to cover every sin you could possibly think known possible to man. So it had to cover the sin of ignorance, okay? So, in the New Testament, the spiritual, where Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world and overtook all those saints and everything. He also died for that sins too. The sins, when we just commit a sin and we just didn't realize that we just committed one. Okay, he died for those too. But when we sin, when we say things we don't mean to say, when we do things we don't actually mean to do out of anger or whatever, we've all done it at some time or another and everything, that is sin. And we need, John's telling us that we need to ask for forgiveness of those sins. So anyway, and in saying that, whenever we ask for forgiveness of the sins that is trying to set between us and our relationship with Jesus Christ, that's what John's telling us. He says you get those out of your life and that becomes your relationship builder. He goes on to say this. He says in verse 5, he says, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him, one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So as long as we're in fellowship with Jesus Christ, we're under the blood of Christ. But it also goes on to say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That he is faithful and just. And that is the thing about Jesus Christ that I know a lot of people may take this wrongly when I say this, but, you know, it don't matter what sin it is in your life. It don't matter what you've just done. When you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you for that sin, he has to do that. I know that may seem silly to you. I'm kind of saying he has to. But he is, the book just said he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And that's exactly who he is. He is faithful and he is just. And when we ask him to forgive us of our sins, he has to do that because his word says that he'll do just that. And at any time, God cannot lie. At any time, the scripture tells us that God cannot lie. So whatever his word says, he will do. And he is faithful and just to do that, no matter what we've ever done. You know, we're the type of people that are quick to jump on the bandwagons for these child molesters and this one thing or another. The thinking of the worst sin known possible to man. And we're quick to say that person, you know, they just killed a child. They need to be killed or this stuff like that. You know, it's pretty bad whenever we try to take the wrath of God in our own way. It's bad when we do that, but we often say that. I don't know how many times I've got around people and they say just that. Okay, when somebody does some heinous crime, they want to say that person needs to have the same thing done to them as what they need to have done to them. But I can just tell you right now, if that person ask Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sins, guess what? And they're right in their heart to do that. Well, I can just tell you right now, they're going to be there right with anybody else in the kingdom of heaven because he's faithful and just to forgive the sins. That's just the way it is. If they ask for forgiveness of sins, the sins that they just committed, and their heart is right, and only God knows the heart, they're forgiven. So it's like for us, anything that we could ever ask for him to forgive us for, he'll do just that because he's faithful and just to do that. And that, I'm telling you, people, that's where I was because I didn't think he would forgive me. And then this scripture here was just quoted to me. And he quoted the scripture. And then after that, after I got up that night, I mean, I went back and looked up in a Bible and I looked the scripture up and I mean, I marked it in that Bible because I wanted to remember the scripture about how important the forgiveness of sins is. It's God. And just because that it's our one way to fellowship with Jesus Christ. That is our way to true fellowship with Jesus Christ, is through forgiveness of sins. So I'm big on resolutions or whatever you want to say. Going into the new year, I'm really not big on resolutions because I ain't never kept one. Every time I'd say I'm going to lose weight, I'd say I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. It don't never happen. I don't never keep it. I just carry on, and I usually gain more weight and everything else. But anyway, this is a one way that a person can make some kind of resolution to herself coming into the new year, especially the year that we just had and stuff, is to figure something out that's in their life that they can have a closer walk with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Three things that he talks about. We must remain in fellowship. We must remain in fellowship. How do we remain in fellowship? The scripture just told us that we ask for forgiveness of our sins. That's how we do that, to remain in fellowship. Confession of sins is called restored fellowship. It's a type of restored fellowship whenever we ask forgiveness of our sins. I just think that it's very important that we ask for forgiveness and we try to put a separation. It's a separation that has to happen between the Savior and the saved. It has to be there. What Jesus Christ has to be put in his place, and we're put in ours. I mean, we are sinners. We're sinners saved by grace. That's what the Bible tells us, that that's who we are. By nature, we're sinners. We have a sinful nature. And we ask Jesus Christ to forgive us of those sins, and he gives us a new nature. And that's where it is. But Jesus Christ is still Jesus Christ, and we can't never bring him to our level. He's always going to be above us. He's always going to be higher than us. His thoughts are way above our thoughts. His ways are way above our ways. So Jesus Christ has his rightful place. And we need to make sure that we know that there is a separation in us. Now, there will be a day that he'll call us home and we'll all have fellowship with him together. But right now, we are still in this earth, and he's at the right hand of the Father, and that's where he's at. So there, but the fellowship that we keep with him on this earth is very important. John is making that known right here. So the third thing is to maintain abundant joy. So those are the things that John mentions that keeps us in fellowship. We restore fellowship through the confession of sins, and maintain abundant joy through this. So, denying the power of sin, denying the presence of sin, or denying the practice of sin, those are the three things that he's covered that we should never do. You know, there was a sect of people in the back in John's days that whenever they were teaching, they were false teachers, but they were teaching that when a person followed Jesus Christ and claimed him as Lord and Savior, that their sinful nature was eradicated. That there was no more sin. They were sin free. That's the way the false teachers were putting it. That there wasn't no such thing as sin. After you come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it'd be like, if hopefully that everybody in here knows Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then once we do that, then there is no more sin in our life. It's gone. But if we claim that, then why would there be a need for a Savior? If there was a time in our life whenever we could be sin-free, then why is there a need for Jesus Christ? Even though that Jesus Christ is the one that puts us in that sinful nature, John tells us that the persons and the people then that are thinking that way is absolutely fooling themselves. That's all they're doing. Is there's no such thing as we're still are in our sinful nature. And this message that not trying to, I know I brought up sinful nature a lot and sin a lot and everything. So I don't want it to be a message of like beat down message. message on sinners. That's not where the message is. That's not where I'm wanting to go. I know you may get confused and think that that's where I'm going with it, that I'm talking about that we're bad sinners and we need to forget, you know, ask for forgiveness or nothing like that. Like, I'm just telling you that's what John says. That's where our fellowship is with that God. That's where our joy is, in the fellowship that we have through Jesus Christ. And our fellowship that we have through Jesus Christ is through the confession of sins. That's where it's at. That's what John's saying. The scripture is saying everything. And there's nothing more than I wanted to be than to be in the fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's where I wanted to be. And his big thing was, one of the things here and everything, was about people that are truth talkers, or truth walkers, in other words. And everything. Those that claim and their walk meets their talk. Vice versa. And this is one of the things that he's pointing out in the scripture, in First John, is those people that do that, that have that relationship with him. But the know that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and then this is the day after Christmas that we have a Savior that we can go to. And I'm just thankful, and I'm telling you right now, that's where I was that night and everything. If Jesus Christ wouldn't forgive me, what if there wasn't somebody to come to me and tell me this scripture, somebody that helped me through that and that night, where would I be now? If I didn't know this scripture, and if I didn't know that Jesus Christ is faithful just to forgive me of all my sins, where would I be in my life? I may be worse than I ever was. I don't know. But whenever he told me that, and I come to know Jesus Christ in a closer relationship through the forgiveness of sins, and I finally realized that it's not through that, but the fellowship. It's the fellowship that we have with one another. The fellowship through Jesus Christ. It's not about head knowledge. It's not about knowing the Bible front to back or nothing like that. But it's about the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. And to know that we serve the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And to move us into a fellowship and joy with just him. So, my New Year's resolution, or coming into the New Year's, is always going to be like the one before. I'm going to have all kinds of things that I'm going to do coming into the New Year. All kinds of things. But the one thing that I really want to push on myself coming into the New Year is that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ better than I had this year. I want to move into a closer relationship with him more and better than I had this past year. That's where my goal would be, is to do that. And you know what? I think that every time that we come into the presence of Jesus Christ, open up his word, and we read it, and we preach it, and we talk about it, I think that we all should be changed. His word should change us somehow, some way. His word should change us somehow. And that's very important for us to remember, that his word is just that. It's powerful enough to change us. It's powerful enough. It's more powerful for salvation for those that don't know him. It's powerful for those that know him but are out of fellowship. So I guess my prayer today would be this. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that today's the day of salvation, that this is the day that you step out on faith and ask Jesus Christ into your heart and therefore be in fellowship with him. If you're here today and you feel like that there's something that's in your way in your walk with Jesus Christ, maybe there's something there that you just feel like is keeping you from fellowship with Jesus Christ. Maybe it is some sin in your life that you need to ask forgiveness for. Maybe it is something there that stops you from having right fellowship. Today's the day to get rid of that. and put it at his feet. Put it at the one that is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's a great scripture, great people.
Amen.
That's a great scripture. That we know that he's faithful and just to do just that. Is to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. That's good. And then if you're here and you just have something on your heart that you want to come down and at the altar and ask Jesus to take care of, maybe you have a family member you want to pray for, don't never give up on your family, don't never give up on your friends, don't never give up praying for anybody, don't never think that that time will never come whenever you are praying for somebody. Always remember that it's not as much about the person that you're praying for, but the person you're praying to. Remember that Jesus Christ, it works in his ways, in his time, and it's very important for us to remember that. It's on his timetable, not ours. And don't never give up on people, and don't never give up on Jesus Christ. I mean, don't never think that you need to stop praying because he's not going to do this, he's not going to do that, he's not going to answer this prayer or something. Just remember that he's faithful and he is just. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we do love you, Father. And we thank you again, Lord, for being faithful and just. Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, we just pray, Lord, that your word is gone for us, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that the people's hearts is open. Lord, that you're acceptable, Father, to your word, Lord, that your ears, that your word doesn't fall on deaf ears. Father, I thank you again, Lord. Father, we just thank you because of who you are and the love that you have for each one of us, Lord. And the most important thing for you to us, Lord, is that we maintain our relationship with you in fellowship. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, and we glorify you, Father, for someone here that doesn't know you. I pray, Lord, that that person comes to know you. Lord, for someone here with a burden on their heart, something within their fellowship and their walk, Lord, I pray, Father, that they lay it at your feet this morning. Lord, we thank you for being faithful. We thank you for being just. We thank you for being Jesus. For it's in Jesus' name, for his sake, I pray. Amen.